So we are continuing our Truth About Sex series, which I know you guys are amped about. But for those of you that are here for the first time, I want to say welcome. And we are continuing our series in this. And why are we talking about sex in junior high at church? I've said it a million times, but the purpose of this is every single day, everyone in this room, we are bombarded with messages. Messages about sex and sexuality. And a lot of these messages contain and can contain harmful ideas and inaccurate ideas about the truth about sex and sexuality. And if we take these ideas, believe them, and live by them, it can result in us making really foolish decisions. Decisions that can ultimately result in deep wounds and painful memories and living a life that God does not want for us. God has a full life of freedom and joy and purpose and meaning and value. And if we live into that, then we can experience that. And that's what he wants for us. So with that said, we are taking the approach of building a foundation. And last week, we talked about what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human? And we talked about the idea, we looked at Genesis 1 and talked about the idea of being made in the image of God. And what does that mean to be made in the image of God? And it meant a couple things for a particular question that we were asking, which is what does it mean to be human? The first part of that question is ultimately a question of, do I matter? Do I matter? Do I have value? Do I have worth? And if so, where does that come from? And if we look to the fact that we are made in the image of God, it means a couple really important things. One, we are God's unique creation, meaning we're different than anything else in all of creation. If we're asking the question, this is the question, who am I? We're unique, we're different. And with that, we're also God's representative, which we'll talk about more today. But being God's representative simply means we were made to represent and reflect God and his character to the world that we live in. So we talked about how a picture is a representation of something that's there. Or we talked about how the president of the United States is the chief ambassador for the United States. And that word ambassador means that he represents the United States wherever he goes. What he says, what he tweets, what he signs on a document, everything he does is ultimately a representation of our country. In the same way, God has created every human who is ever born and ever will be born to be this representation of God on earth, of his goodness, his love, his creativity, all of those things we were made to represent. To the question of purpose, of why am I here? Am I here for any particular reason? Being God's representative means first that we were made to trust, treasure, and honor God. So we were made to trust God, to trust him for good things, to trust his faithfulness, to trust his definition of what is good, what is right, what is true, what is beautiful, and to trust him for that and then overflow and live our life. We talked a lot about that at Winter Camp. The second thing it means is that we are stewards of the earth. God gives Adam, the first human representative, and Eve, this responsibility to take care of the garden, to take care of it, to protect it, to cultivate it, to make it better, and to continue to create and make the world even better with God's help. And we too, as image bearers of God, we have a responsibility to take care of the earth that God has given us, to treat one another with respect more than anything, but also to take care of the plants and the animals and those kinds of things, and to take the resources that God has given us to create and make really good things like technology and things that can make the world an even better place for everyone here. So we're God's steward, we're stewards of the earth. The other thing is we were made to be in a relationship with God and others. We were made to be in that trusting and treasuring relationship, and then we were made to be in a relationship with other people. We were not made to just be loners. We were made to be in relationship. And then lastly, to the question of do I matter, this question of value, and the answer is yes. You are more valuable than anything else in all of creation. When God looks at you, he sees something special. He has made something special. He's intended something special for you. And even in addition to that, that value that you have is built into who you are as a human. And every human that has ever lived and ever will live has had this built-in, or the word we use is intrinsic value. This built-in value that is not determined by anything else other than the fact that our creator, our designer, has said, you are valuable. So that's really important for us to know. But the other thing is that we are also sinful. We're sinful. We're broken. So we are, in one sense, valuable and full of purpose. And in another sense, we are broken, meaning that we're not the way that we should be. And the reason for that is from the beginning, when Adam and Eve took the fruit from the tree, they were living their own way. They wanted to define for themselves what is good, true, and beautiful. And they wanted to define for themselves what made them worthy and valuable and what their purpose was. And in that moment, every human that has ever lived has been born with this heart posture away from God, saying, you know what, I'm gonna blaze my own trail and do my own thing and live my own way. But there's good news. And this is the hope that we're hanging on for this entire series and really for everything that we talk about. And that is that there is hope because there is redemption that is found in Jesus. Meaning that Jesus did everything that needed to be done so that we could be in a relationship with God. And so that we could be invited into the full life that Jesus has to offer. So I know that's a lot there, but it's so important that we start there before we can even talk about how we should live our life. So this morning, we're talking about our next building block, which is what is the truth about guys and girls? Now, this is an incredibly important conversation, and unfortunately, this has become a genuinely confusing and sensitive topic to talk about, which 50 years ago, this would have been kind of like a no-brainer. You almost wouldn't even need to talk about this. But in today's culture, there is so much sensitive confusion. So for that reason, it is challenging to dive into this conversation, but it's so important that we do if we're truly going to understand what God's design for sex is, what to understand the truth about sex. We have to first understand what is the truth about guys and girls. So will you guys pray with me as we just acknowledge God and bring him into this conversation? God, we first acknowledge that we are here because of you. And we recognize that you are with us in this conversation, but you are with us in your presence as well. And we want to acknowledge you in that, especially as we dive into these challenging, sensitive, confusing conversations. Would you give us clarity? Would you point us to truth? And will we walk out of here this morning with a better understanding of who you are, who we are, and so that we can better understand how we live? We love you. In your name, amen. Cam, will you turn the back lights on real quick? You can keep the stage lights off. But if you're like me and you get a little dozy during Sunday mornings, it's helpful to have a little light on. So I got you. All right, so we are starting in the very same place that we started last week. So when we want to understand what does it mean to be a guy, what does it mean to be a girl, we get to start right at the beginning of the story in Genesis 1, verse 26 through 27. So you guys can turn there in your Bibles, but remember, God created the universe. And just imagine that for a moment. The universe being created, all of the systems that make up the world, all of these things like gravity and the moon and the stars and galaxies and the ocean and turtles and fruit and all of these things that are so awesome. God created all of the complex systems that made that up. And then at the pinnacle of his creation, he creates his most special creation, which is humanity. Verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Last week, we talked a lot about this up here. This week, we're talking about right there. The fact that God, in the beginning, creates two distinct types of humans, both in the image of God, but two distinct, what we would call, genders. From the very beginning, there was male and there was female. This is God-given. This is built into who we are as humans. And we'll get to that in a moment. But what I want to acknowledge before even moving on to talking about male and female is what is similar about men and women? What is equal to them? This morning, we're going to be talking about what are the similarities and what are the differences, and that we can actually celebrate both of those things. And that's what God ultimately wants for us, celebrate and live into those things. The first thing we have comes from our favorite image, which is that we are made in the image of God. Both male and female, guys and girls, are made in God's image and his likeness. So what does that mean? Well, the first thing that it means is that guys and girls are equal in value and worth. Guys and girls are equal in value and worth. Now, I went to college, and maybe some of you will go to college one day too, and the first class that I sat in was a religious studies class. I sit down in my chair, and there was a question that was posed to us, because it was a class on Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. We were talking about the monotheistic religions of the world. And my professor, the first thing he says is, he said a lot of other things, but one of the first questions he asked in this particular class was how religion basically breaks up value and worth for people. And he said, no more than in gender. He says, Christianity is the worst of them all, in that from the beginning in Christianity, there are two distinct people, and men are clearly more powerful than women. Why would a good God ever do something like that? And what he was implying is that at the core of Christianity, at the core of our view of reality, is this idea that men are more dominant than women, and that's because our God can't be good, and kind of went down that line of thinking. And I want to say, not to bash my professor, but just to say that he is wrong. This is not what the Bible communicates to be true. From the very beginning, we have two distinct human beings who are both made in the image of God, which that implies that they are both equal in value and in worth, meaning that when God, the God of the universe who created them, looks at men and looks at women, looks at guys and looks at girl, he does not distinguish one over the other as far as his value and worth, as far as his love for them. So he sees them as different, but he sees them as equal in value and worth, which means for us that both guys and girls are equally worthy of honor and respect. That's built into who we are. Every guy and every girl that is born and lives and dies, every person that you interact with on a daily basis, whether guy or girl, is equal in value and in worth. That is massive. That is so important for us to understand. Imagine if you walked into a room and believed that. Imagine if you walked into a room and the people that you see at school, or the people that you see at Overflow or at your house or whatever, or on TV, you actually looked and said, oh, they are image bearers of God, equal to me in value and in worth. That's really important. The second thing that it means is that guys and girls are equal representatives of God. Yes, both distinctly different, but both represent God's character. I love this image of this idea of representing, or an image is a reflection of something. And the idea that, imagine God's characteristics, his attributes being given to us, like we talked about at Winter Retreat if you were there, pouring into the cup. And then our responsibility is simply to trust those things and then reflect it to the world. Now, there's a lot of different ways in which we're going to reflect God's characteristics differently because he's wired us and made us different. And one of the ways he's made us different is in the way that we express this as a guy and as a girl. In Genesis 2, we see a zoomed in picture of God's creation. So Genesis 1 is kind of this overall big picture. And then Genesis 2, it like kind of repeats and zooms in into the story, and we get a different picture of God's creation of humanity. So God makes Adam from the dust. God makes Adam from the dust, and he gives him responsibilities and all these things. Then Adam has this moment where he realizes that he can't do what God's asked him to do on his own. And God says it's not good for man to be alone. And then Genesis 2, verse 19 to 25. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Now, before I move on, this word suitable helper, I want to just be really clear about what this means. No suitable helper was found. In the Hebrew, which is what it was originally written in, the word that is for helper is ezer. Can everyone say ezer? Ezer. Yeah, it's kind of fun to say. And the word literally means to help. But like I've said before, in Hebrew, words are a little bit different in that each of the words have like a picture that are associated with them. When you hear it, you imagine something else. And the way that that word in context is the picture that it's giving off is not helper as in like assistant or servant to the person, but more of like a partner or a coworker or something along those lines. Someone who is joining in on the work. So let me keep going, it'll make more sense. But for Adam, there was no suitable helper found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is unified with his wife, and they will become one flesh." More on that next week. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So the point of bringing this up is this idea that God had given Adam this, he created Adam, and then he gave him this responsibility, right? But Adam couldn't live out God's call completely for humanity without a suitable partner, someone who could represent God in a different way and come alongside him and cultivate the earth and be a steward and be a representative of that. And Adam recognizes this. He's like, I can't do what you're asking me to do. So God provides a suitable helper. Does that make sense? It's pretty cool, right? So with that said, this gets at our first foundational difference between guys and girls. First foundational difference between guys and girls. And the difference is in the expressions of God's heart. Meaning that God has created us different and has wired us different to the core of who we are. And there is something distinctly different of how our hearts as guys and girls express God's heart. And I'll explain this. So the first thing is that God has created guys, has created men to with this longing of this heart for the responsibility to protect and provide for others. So at the core of who we are as guys, we are wired with the desire for the responsibility to protect and provide for others. Whereas at the core longing of the heart for a woman is a responsibility to nurture and to take care of others. And this word nurture is this idea of cultivating, that at the core of who you are as a woman, as a girl, is this longing for the responsibility to make things better, to take something and to foster it and to take care of it, like Natalie with her plants or your mom and taking care of you, right? Women are the only ones that are capable of being mothers, both physically, but also spiritually. A woman cannot be a father and a father cannot be a mother. And I'm not talking about like roles in the home. I'm just talking about this longing of the heart for responsibility to protect and provide and to nurture and to take care of. And I think it's generally, like in most cultures, that's why the man is the one who often works and provides for the family. And that's been, there's a whole other conversation there. But traditionally, that's why women don't work, and they've gone and they take care of the home and the family. And there's something to that. And it's not saying that women can't work or men should be the ones making the most money. It's just, I'm just simply speaking into this core design that God has given us. But ultimately, God has created us with capabilities to do a lot of different things. And just being man or woman doesn't change that. So let me touch on this in a second and how I illustrate this. So there's a psychologist woman, a woman who's a psychologist, and she was a mother. And she was trying to figure out what she wanted to study. And she figured it out one morning when she was observing her kids play their favorite game. They were about 3 and 5 years old, or I think 4 and 5 actually. 4-year-old girl, 5-year-old boy. And their favorite game before bed was Daddy would be a dragon, which this is a terrifying dragon. So, but imagine there's a dad pretending to be a dragon. And they would start off with one of the kids would be the one that needs to be saved, and the other one would be the rescuer. So to start, let's say the son, she observed her son as the knight or whoever he thought he was, and the daughter needed saving from the dragon dad. So the son went and like beat the dad up and saved his sister, and screamed out, "I saved my sister. I protected her and provided her safety," in that kind of way. And the mom observed this and was like, "Interesting." And then they switched the role. And they had the boy who needed saving, and the girl was the knight. And she went in and defeated the dragon and came out of it and said, "I helped my brother. I took care of him." And the mom observed that and went on to study like gender studies and came up with a lot of the same ideas that we're talking about. And the idea is that at the heart of the boy, they did the same thing, but at the heart of the boy was this desire, this longing for that responsibility to be the hero, to save his sister. And at the heart of his sister was this desire to save her brother, but to help him and to take care of him, right? They did the same thing, but from a different place. And that's core to who we are. And when we live into that responsibility, that desire for that responsibility to protect and provide and to nurture and to take care of and to make things better, we're living into how God has made us. And both of these things were meant to be done sacrificially. Both of these things were meant to be done out of a heart of looking at the other person and laying your life down for that other person. It is a heart posture and it is a responsibility. But it can look a lot of different ways. And I think what I'm not talking about here is that men have to be the ones to be the ones that are working and protecting and providing in that way, and women need to be the ones that stay at home and do that kind of stuff. Generally, that is how we live out our life, but it can look a lot of different ways, and we'll get into some differences in a second. But another difference in guys and girls is relationally. There are relational, like core relational differences between guys and girls. Generally speaking, most guys express themselves more physically. So I remember when I was younger, I'm not like a really aggressive guy, but I remember when I was younger, when I would get angry, I just wanted to kick something as hard as I could, like a cat, a dog, whatever it was that was around me. No, I'm just kidding. Like a wall or something like that. But there's something, there's generally speaking, guys want to express themselves more physically. It's why generally guys like to wrestle or football or these things where you get to hit and do those kinds of things. Whereas girls generally are more emotional, meaning that girls are going to interpret their feelings in more expressive emotional ways, not as much through physical things, but more emotionally, right? You're more in touch naturally. Girls are more in touch with their emotions and express themselves in that way. Another relational difference is guys are generally more visual, meaning that we're more visually stimulated, and that's how God has wired us to be. Whereas girls are more emotional. It's why girls love romantic comedies. I like romantic comedies too, but generally speaking, girls love romantic comedies. They love the love story that kind of plays out because you connect with the emotions of it. Whereas guys are more visual, where you see a cute girl and you're like, I'm excited, and that's kind of how it goes. So generally speaking, these are just some important distinctions that God is 100% wired us to be. When I look at Natalie, like, I get really excited, okay? Not in a weird way, but in a great way, in a healthy way. Natalie probably doesn't have the same reaction to me visually, right? But Natalie, we have an emotional connection that she has a very different emotional connection than I do to her. It doesn't mean that I'm not emotional. It just means that the way that she's wired, she's more emotional, I'm more visual when it comes to that connection. Does that make sense? Yeah? Cool. With that said, there is a spectrum of our personalities, meaning that not all guys are the same and not all girls are the same. And this is really important. So guys, let me speak to you for a second. Guys tend to be on a spectrum of what psychologists would call like a rough and tumble guy and a not rough and tumble guy. So there was a thing, it actually happened at our church, but this pastor, who's also become a huge researcher when it comes to gender and sexuality, took a ton of research on personality differences between guys and girls and learned that the majority of guys kind of land in this zone of the spectrum of rough and tumble, which rough and tumble is kind of your quintessential like manly man guy, right? And just in the sense that he's the one where love team sports, would prefer to do something physical, play football, things like that. You can imagine that, right? Rough and tumble guy. Then there's the not as rough and tumble guy, where this is maybe someone who is a little more sensitive, more in touch with their feelings, likes to maybe express themselves through like the arts or singing and things like that. Both of these guys, wherever you land on this spectrum, you are 100% a man, made in the image of God to be a man. And I know that in our world, there's these questions that we have of, okay, what makes me a man, right? What makes me a man? And a lot of times we just label it in this way. Oh, well, a man means you like to barbecue and you love football and you do that. And then if you're someone who doesn't like to barbecue, you don't like playing football, and you're like, so what does that mean for me, right? And I want to say that there's something to that of a lot of guys do like that, and that's awesome, and we want to celebrate that. But we also want to celebrate any one of us in this room who are different in that way. There's a spectrum of that, and wherever you land on here, you are a guy. You are made in the image of God as a guy, and that is awesome. There are so many different types of dudes. And you change throughout your whole life, right? For girls, you have kind of the girly girl and then the not as girly girl, or what someone would say is like a tomboy kind of thing. I don't like that word, but you get the picture of this is more like girly girl where you want your car outside and interior to be pink. You bedazzle everything. I'm going like super extreme, but maybe growing up, you like to play with Barbies, things like that. And then we have the not as girly girl, where maybe you'd prefer to like build a treehouse and go play in the mud and play sports with the guys at school because girls are blah, right? No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean, right? There's a spectrum of different personalities, and wherever you are on this spectrum, you are a woman. You're a beautiful woman made in the image of God. And I think that's so important for us to have, because in our culture today, it's these differences that define us, define our gender. Right, I'm not going to get into that conversation, but there's so much to get into there. But the truth I want to communicate to you is that God has made us uniquely different. But wherever you land on this personality spectrum and how you change and grow and all of those kinds of things is good. It's beautiful. And it doesn't change who you are as a guy and as a girl. Does that make sense? Okay. Next difference. Biological differences. This is what I got from science.com, which is not religious at all, obviously. It's livescience.com. Says this about biological differences. Unlike many animals, men and women are more physically similar than we are different. So there's similarity there. Nonetheless, there are a few key distinctions in our physiques. Some of them are designed to suit each sex for the role it plays in reproduction, while others exist to help tell us tell each other apart and to aid in our mutual attraction. Okay? So science.com is acknowledging that there are key differences in our biology, in our physique, that can help us in reproduction. We'll talk more about that next week. But also it helps us to tell us each other apart and aid in our mutual attraction. So here are some key biological differences between men and women. These are way more concrete differences. So the first one is our reproductive organs, okay? Believe it or not, guys and girls have different reproductive organs. Guys have penises, girls have vaginas, and that's an awesome thing. It's really important, right? In case you didn't know, they're located there, okay? We won't go any further. But I think this is the coolest thing, and this is where we start getting into the conversation of like we can look. I actually think looking at our bodies, looking at our biological difference, looking at sex can actually point to the fact that we have a designer. It can actually be used as proof that there is an intelligent designer, God. And that's awesome. But girls, you guys are, like I said earlier, you are the only one capable of housing and taking care of a baby child growing inside of you. Can we just acknowledge how freaking awesome that is? And guess what? Guys can't do that. Only you guys can do that. And that's amazing that each one of you guys, God willing, have the potential to have a child, to make a baby inside of your stomach, a real person, someone with a soul, an image bearer of God. And your body is wired that way. Literally, your biology has made it such. That's really cool. And there's something intentional about that that God has done. Guys, we can't do that. We do have a part in that that we'll talk about next week. But we have our own biological differences that are important for us to acknowledge. And these things can help us distinguish guys and girls. The other thing is in our physiques. Guys are generally have a stronger build muscle faster, all of these kinds of things. Girls have generally have wider hips and all of these different things that are important for reproduction and a lot of other things. But I think it is important for us to acknowledge the differences in our physique, in the fact that guys are generally stronger, girls are have different body types, generally more finessey and more stylish and all that kind of stuff in their movements. So I think about the Olympics. And how, thankfully, the Olympics acknowledges these differences, and they have actually two different divisions for men and women to compete. And we get to look at this and watch these incredible women compete and do these amazing things. And oftentimes, it's a little bit different than guys. The times are different. So a lot of times, the guys have faster times or in different things like that. But both of them are awesome. And both of them are good, and it's important that we make those distinctions, that we understand the differences in that. I think of, Natalie and I were talking about women's surfing, and how women's surfing often got this really bad rap that, like, it wasn't as cool to watch than guys surfing. And I will admit, I prefer to watch guys surfing. But in the last few years, it's been really cool because girls surfing has embraced the differences in body type. And the way that girls are starting to surf, they're starting to surf faster, they're doing cooler maneuvers, but their style and the way that they do turns on a wave, where their placement is on the wave, is different, and it's amazing to watch. And guys are doing different things. They're going higher above the lip. They're doing harder turns. It's more aggressive, and that's awesome too. But what I love about it is you just see these subtle differences, and it's awesome. And those are the things we should be celebrating, is like, yeah, it is different. It is different to watch a female gymnast to a male gymnast. Or as I did, I was a shot putter. I threw these large metal balls. And we used heavier balls than the girls did. But we both learned the same technique and did all these things. But it was really cool to be able to compete in that way. So just to acknowledge, there's differences in our physique. Sound good? Sweet. So those are just some biological differences. We're going to talk about how guys and girls have different hormones, like way a little bit more detail in that next week, which will be really cool when we talk about sex. But for now, those are some of the important biological differences that we want to acknowledge. So again, these differences are beautiful, they're intentional, and they're indicators of our God-given gender. And we ought to celebrate those differences and embrace it. So with that, back to what guys and girls are the same on. guys and girls are spiritually and morally equal. And this is connected to being made in the image of God, but we also see proof of this in the creation narrative in Genesis. Dang, I forgot my Bible. Well, Genesis 3, I don't have my Bible up here with me. You want to bring it now? Thank you. So, everyone turn to Genesis 3. And this is the tragic moment, but it gives us some insight into the spiritual and moral equality of man and woman. Genesis 3, verse 1. So now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did you God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" So serpent, this figure of evil, this representation of evil, approaches the woman and says, "Did God really say you can't eat from that?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this," and he curses the serpent. And then verse 17, to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it." And then he goes down and gives a list of things about work and how work is going to now not be good, but it'll be hard. And then he gets into something for Eve as well in a moment, and talks about how childbirth will then be painful and not good. Or it'll be good, but it'll be painful. So my point of saying this is we have this interesting image here where God calls out to them, and he definitely gives Adam this responsibility of, to Adam, he's like, "Hey, I told you from the beginning not to eat from that tree, and you didn't lead your wife in that way. You didn't lead her, you let her go and grab that." And then Adam took from that tree, or took from Eve and ate it herself. And in that moment, you see like the casting blame on each other and all this different stuff. But in the end, God holds Adam and Eve accountable for their actions. He holds them each accountable for their actions. And I think that's so important that we are spiritually and morally equal. We are individually equal to ourselves. And the tragic news to that is that guys and girls are both sinful. In Romans 3:23, in talking about all people, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Like I said at the beginning, we are sinful, meaning that from the moment we're born, yes, we are made in the image of God, but we naturally choose our own way. Guys do it and girls do it. And there are consequences to sin. Now, specifically, consequences to sin when it comes to gender is really sad and tragic and interesting. But if we look throughout history, let's speak to guys for a second. Throughout history, for the most part, from the moment that Adam and Eve did what they did, we've seen men use their differences to show dominance over women or try to take advantage of women in some ways. And instead of protecting and providing with humility, they've tried to dominate in a lot of ways. And this isn't for everyone, but we kind of see these movements throughout history. Rather than treating a woman like an equally valuable human being, women sometimes have often been treated as objects for men's pleasure. And this is a tragic, tragic consequence of the fall. And our culture in some ways has made some improvements as far as now in America where we live, women, you guys are able to vote now. Isn't that crazy to think that not that long ago, women weren't even allowed to vote? But there's been some really good movement that have come from ultimately Christians who have fought for these. But the problem is because of sin also, we also can see how sometimes throughout history, women, instead of bracing your God-given value, have turned to dressing more with less clothing or trying to attract guys to find value or using that to gain power and to grab power by dismissing any differences that there may be. So saying, oh, we're exactly the same. There's no differences, to try to gain that equality. But we see this power dynamic that was never meant to be in the beginning. That's not God's intention. There are differences, and we want to celebrate that, but our equality is important to God. And tragically, we also see how even today, and these are things that are being taught in school, and I'm not going to get into it too much, but there are people who are confused about what their gender is, who look at themselves and they have a male body or a female body, but they're confused about how they feel or how it should be expressed. And I know people who struggle with this, and you may know people too. And it's really confusing in our culture of, well, how should we think about this? And what I want to say to that is a consequence of a sinful world with brokenness in it. But it's really important that for us, that we embrace our God-given differences and similarities, and we love those who are different from us. So, lastly, and this is really important, because I think in this conversation, and we're just scraping the surface, it can be difficult of like, okay, this is really hard. Where is the hope in all of this? Guys and girls are both sinful. Where is the hope in this? And the hope is in Jesus, because guys and girls are equal in Christ. We are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. By nothing that we've done on our own, fully out of God's, this unearned, undeserved favor, this love that God has for us, he did what needed to be done so that we could be saved. We could be in a relationship with him and ultimately invited in to the life that he intended for us. Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29 says this: In Christ, you are all children of God through faith, through trusting God. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Paul is not saying here that there's no longer Jew and there's no longer a Gentile, that men don't exist and women don't exist, that all of those things are separated. But he's saying those distinctions don't make anyone better than another person. That we are all one in Christ. We're all children of God, capable of being in a relationship with him, capable of being used by God. We are equal in Christ. And again, invited to embrace the way that he intends us to live. So there's a lot there and a lot of questions that might come up along with it. But this morning, I really wanted to just give us a foundation of truth. And it started with that guys and girls are equal in value and worth. Because we're image bearers, we are equal in value and worth. And we are also equal representatives of God. It may look different, but we are equal in that pursuit. And our differences are beautiful and they're intentional. From biology to relationally with one another, we are all different and unique. And it's important that we embrace those beautiful and intentional differences and similarities. Number four is we are spiritually and morally equal, meaning each of us are accountable to God for our own actions. And God doesn't hold us accountable differently. We are sinful in that we all fall short of the glory of God. All of us make decisions every single day that aren't in line with God's intention for our life. We are sinful, and because of that, we're not deserving of a relationship with God. We're actually deserving of separation from him forever. But we are equal in Christ, and we have redemption in him. By trusting in what Jesus did on the cross and that he rose again, we have a relationship with him. Our relationship with God is restored, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to live the life that God intended us to live. And that is really good news. My final thought is this, and this is really important as we go into next week when we talk about sex. Wanting to have a loving romantic relationship is a really good thing. And I think God has wired us differently, but a lot of us have that desire. But having a relationship, being married, does not make you a complete person. Girls, listen up. You do not need a guy to make you a complete person. You are complete in Christ. You are a valuable, worth everything, image bearer of God on your own. And in Christ, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are everything you need to be. Now, marriage and relationships is a blessing. It is an absolute blessing and something that 100%, if that is something that you want to pursue that. It is a good thing. But it does not make you a full person. It's not a requirement to make you a full person. Guys, same thing. Having a wife is a blessing. It's a beautiful thing. And I can speak from experience, it's the best. And it's something that if you want that, pursue that. But that does not make you a complete person. And it's not a requirement to be a full person. And I think as we look at the differences between guys and girls and the truth about guys and girls, that is so important for us to understand. That relationships are an absolute beautiful blessing from God. And I believe that he wants that for many of us in this room. But it is not a requirement to be a full person. That make sense? Cool. Lastly, my prayer for us is that we would grow into godly men and women. And you guys may have people in your life. In this room, I look at your leaders, and those are great examples of godly men and women who are embracing the way that God has made them and trying to live into that. And I would encourage you guys, we need, whether it be your parents or a leader or a brother or a sister who is pursuing what it looks like to be a godly man and a godly woman, we need those models. Follow those models. It's going to look different for you, but we need that. And lastly, my encouragement is for you to embrace who God has made you to be. You're in a stage of your life where you're being shaped and formed by so many different things. And my prayer for us and for you guys specifically, as you guys grow in junior high and into high school and beyond, is that you would grow in your understanding of who God has made you to be, in your personality, in your bodies that are all different and beautiful and awesome, but don't look the same, and that's great. And really grow to love who you are because of who God made you to be. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity that we have to be together, first of all, and gather together. And I thank you that we can look to you and look to the world that you created to understand what it means to be a guy, what it means to be a girl, but more importantly, what it means to grow into a godly man and godly woman. God, I pray that you would continue to fill us with truth about who you are and who we are and what it means to be a follower of you as a guy and a girl. And I just thank you for each and every one of us in this room today. God, thank you for these students who are taking time out of their Sunday to be here. And I pray that this would continue to just be a worshipful time together. We love you. In your name, amen.